Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
Tim Jenkins.
I've got people real mad at me in Chicago that how dare you? There's a radio guy up there, Mike North. He was real mad.
Founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite.
I'm Tim Jenkins and welcome to All Things QB, where I watch every single clip and break down the most important ones today.
Breaking down the positives and negatives.
You've seen progressions that align with the quarterback's eye. I hope that's what we get more of, but I hope we continue to see some of these concepts and the way we build things are better for the quarterback versus just looks good on paper.
Tim Jenkins with Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score.
Let's jump into the film.
We love going over the film and asking Tim Jenkins, our quarterback expert, what he saw. He's the founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. He is at T Jenkins Elite on Twitch and on X. He's at T Jenkins Elite on X. He joins us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. Tim Jenkins, we just heard Ben Johnson say yesterday after he watched the tape that he wants to improve the passing game. He said that he thinks they're winning in spite of it, not because of it. He also mentioned receivers running routes. After you watched the tape, what do you see? What do you think of that statement?
It's an interesting one, right? I think we've talked about a lot of, hey, Caleb hanging on a concept, making sure that we give these concepts a chance. And I'm sure Ben at some point is like getting frustrated when it's, you know, he's dialing up these shot plays and we have guys running open and Caleb starts to evacuate the pocket or, you know, gets to a check down. So I could see that. I could see the piece of it that he's talking about in terms of cleaning up our route consistency, right? Especially some of those sail breaks or some of those speed outs where guys can tend to drift up field a little bit, maybe cleaning up some of that. Simultaneously, like it's a tough week for me to sit there and go, man, got to clean up the passing game, because I do feel like they were efficient enough with the conditions. The thing that's hard though is it's not like we, you know, you look at the conditions and you say, man, you have the 30+ mph gusts of wind, right? But on the other side of it, Jalen Hurts was driving the football. And then it's not like this is the first time we've seen Caleb sail a couple or dirt a couple. So it's hard to say, oh, hey, it was the conditions, and that's why. So I can see where he's coming from. I think, honestly, to me, every time I turn on the tape, I've felt like, man, we're just scratching the surface of what this offense can be. And I think that's more or less what he's saying, which is if we just get this passing game, you know, on its feet, the equivalent of what our running game is right now, I mean, how hard is this offense going to be stop? Because listen, they almost had 300 yards on the ground, right? That's insane. So I do think it's trending in the right direction, but simultaneously, I mean, of course he's dead on when he says that there's a lot to clean up.
It is tantalizing to think about that part of it, Tim. You're right, because it feels like Caleb can get there. It feels to me like a lot of the stuff that has gone wrong for Caleb is fixable. And let me start. We'll get to some of the nitpicky areas and some of the bad throws that Caleb made. But let me start, though, with that clutch 28-yard pass to Cole Kmet off of the play fake. How would you describe that in terms of, is that a good play? Is that a great play? Is that an elite throw? How do you describe that particular play for Caleb Williams this past week?
Yeah, that's as good as it gets.
Okay.
Right? That's so to me, here's the hard thing, though, is you could spin it as a negative, right? Because they're running same side boot, and same side boot, your running back's your first progression, and his first progression's wide open. So you could spin it as a negative of like, oh, look, he passed it up. Simultaneously, I've always been a big fan of trying to coach quarterbacks to hunt with the football, man. If we get a premier look or we can hunt with this thing, go ahead and let's attack with the football. And just the ability to twist his body the way he does to drop that thing in. I mean, that's flat out as good as it's going to get. I think, you know, you could say the Bo Nix, in terms of who I watched Nix and May and then Caleb this week. Bo Nix, when he was falling over on Sunday Night Football, is like also tough. But from a not because it's, you know, a scramble induced situation, just what it takes to throw to your left side, that high corner, that's as good as it gets. And then the fact that Kmet basically it's just a long handoff, right? It's not like Kmet had to make some insane catch with it. That one was flat out incredible. And that's probably equally the frustrating part for Ben Johnson when he starts to say, man, this passing offense could be, what we could get in the pass game, is because you're sitting there and you're looking at a 10 out of 10 difficulty throw and Caleb makes it with ease. And then we follow it up with, hey, we've got a speed out and we sail it. So, I mean, obviously it's why I think fans at times get frustrated with Caleb. Even I, evaluating him on tape, get frustrated with him. So I'm sure that's where Ben's also coming from, is like, man, we've got a 10 out of 10 difficulty. We complete that one. We follow it up with a miss. But to me, it's like, you'd rather have it that way, right? I'd rather have a guy under center who can make the 10 out of 10 difficulty, and hopefully we can get him biomechanically efficient enough to where those layups come. That's probably, you know, the better scenario in terms of, if you're looking at long-term, how to really build a team that goes and makes a run every single year in the playoffs, it's always with those guys who are truly special.
I think there's something else to the concept of knowing when to make your plays and structure. Like, we've talked all about the discussion, Tim, of the be Superman, you know, put on the Superman cape when you need to, but the plays and structure hasn't necessarily come as quick as a lot of people would have liked. I do think that you pointed out in your latest breakdown, which a lot of people can watch on YouTube if you want to check it out, Tim Jenkins, it is All Things QB on YouTube. You do talk about some of the plays that I think he is making in structure that I don't know that he would have made earlier in the season. So you're seeing some growth. You know, what were those that you did like? I think you mentioned hitches too being part of it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you're dead on. It is in a way better spot than it was at the beginning of the season, right? And that's where I do think that progressive build, you know, it's like we're sitting here and it's like we're talking about, oh, man, how much further could this passing game come along? And then, mind you, we're the one seed right now, which I don't think anyone saw coming. So to me, it's like, yeah, I do think we have a lot of room to gain. I think we've gained a ton. You can see it on some of the ones where it's like just the run adjustment. And again, that's not really hanging on the concepts, but just his total grasp of the offense. We had a play where it was, hey, we have a running play called to one side. Instead, you know, he's got a run adjust, meaning, hey, you can throw this slant if we get off coverage. He's got DJ Moore. He's got a slant. They've got off coverage. Boom, he hits the run adjustment. So his knowledge of the offense is growing. His ability to play within the structure of our offense is growing. There's just a ton left on the table. And I think Ben is actually starting to realize how special this team could be and how special this run could be, to where I wouldn't be surprised if he's slightly, I don't want to say panicking, but slightly figuring out, man, how can I deliver this message even further? Because actually, realistically, we can make a run right now. And I think he's seeing that. And then now it's like he almost has to press even further into development. Whereas if you were to say at the beginning of the season, hey, the Bears are going to compete for the division and probably get into the playoffs, how many people would have just taken that? And instead, now it's like, what can we do to optimize this passing game? Because actually, we have a chance to go maybe win a couple playoff games. Like, that's where I think a lot of this is coming from. But if you were to just zoom all the way out and say, where's he at in his development? I think he's in a really great spot. And then a lot of this stuff, unfortunately, I think will take an offseason to clean up from just being better with his feet, timing his feet to his progression. I do think that's going to take some time. But there is definitely stuff that they can address this year that is going to help them once they get to the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's the thrilling part, that the Bears have a chance to win this year and then continue to clean things up and make things better for Caleb in this offseason. I got to say, Tim, when a defensive lineman or linebacker in this case, like Jalix Hunt, jumps up, bats a ball down, and then catches it, it is shocking. It is alarming. It is sudden. And I don't know if there is any kind of breakdown or excuse for it other than it was what it was. What did you see on that particular play with Caleb Williams to go to the other side of the spectrum beyond the Cole Kmet touchdown?
Yeah, that's a great, I mean, so for me, that was honestly the one play where it's like, man, if you could feel everything shifting, right? Or you could feel like, oh, shoot, can we handle this? That was it, because you're talking about a complete swing because of, you know, I actually broke that play down on the breakdown, and that was going to hit for a huge game. Like, that was a perfectly timed call, perfectly executed. That's a chunk play, 20, 30-yard play if that ball gets through. Instead, it gets batted up. To me, I think, I mean, honestly, if you're coaching this thing hard, we definitely need to, one, we need to get more vertical, right? We got to get on our toes, get that thing up and over. Caleb is kind of at a not great arm angle to me to that. So I think there's definitely stuff to clean up to where, you know, you coach up the slow screen technique hard. You know, we're peeling out of there. We really should be pumping, getting out of there, retreating with some depth, getting on our toes, getting that higher release point. And I don't think that ball gets picked off, right? I do think, you know, there's times where you can say, oh, that was a great play by that defender. And that was a great play. With that being said, we could have avoided it, I think, with elite fundamentals there. And he just didn't have it. And it's something that they're going to have to continue to hammer for him. But for me, yeah, I do think that that was one that could have been avoided with a little bit higher arm angle. And if we're getting up on our toes as we're retreating.
We're talking to Tim Jenkins. He is our film expert, our quarterback guru. We're here on Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Joining us via the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. He's also on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Outside of the wind, Tim, what was the most impressive part of the tape that you watched when it came to the game against the Eagles?
I mean, I hate doing this because I'm going to sound like a salesman, but I started doing, hey, like extended cuts, right? Like longer breakdowns because I had to start doing it. But the run game, like I ended up breaking down the run game because for me, that's a lot, right? To transition from going to the pass game to actually breaking down the run game, that's got to be special. The run game was specifically the cutback run. The way that we were able to move them front side and zone, and the way our backs could press the whole front side and then we could cut it back because we were just washing people all the way through, I don't know if I've ever seen anything like it looking at NFL tape. That was as good as it gets. Mm. And then we're talking about the Chicago Bears offensive line, right? Like, I mean, how long has it been since we've been able to say, like, hey, our line is just imposing their will? And that's all we were. I mean, it was like chunk run after chunk run after chunk run. And some of the concepts are cool, right? Where we have DJ Moore, we call it batting, where he works across the formation, pretends like he's going to block the DN and goes to the flat. And you try to pull linebackers and flat defenders with a receiver when really it's a designed run. So there's some cool stuff where it's like, oh man, that's exciting. We haven't seen that before. But then it was just also just flat out like, hey, we're going to run inside zone. We're going to run it right at you. It's just body on body. We're moving big on big, and we're going to move you. We're moving grown men against their will. And that is, to me, as exciting as it gets. When you think about what works in Chicago, let's say we get a home playoff game. What works in Chicago in January? What do you know is going to be there?
Running the football.
Running the ball. right? So to me, the fact that we can be physical and run the ball, that's exciting. And then you pair that with a guy who I think could be as skilled or more skilled than anybody else in the NFL, as talented as anybody, driving the ball down the field, and then you pair it with the playmakers we have, it's a dangerous recipe. So to me, that run game was what I do. I walked away thinking, man, this thing is substantially better than I even thought it was. And I think you also got to credit the defense. The defense was flying around. They made some big-time plays. I come on here every week and say, we're going to outscore people. And listen, they stood up and they did their job against what's one of the harder offenses to stop in the NFL. So I do think just from a team win perspective, it was as good as it gets. And I think that running game was pretty darn special.
What do you think about the Eagles, man, and what they have going on or not going on right now? Because the Bears just dominated them in seemingly in every way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I know. That's what's crazy, right? You look at the Eagles and you go, when we were sitting here, you know, and we're talking about playoffs, and I think Mark thought I was crazy. But when we're sitting there, we're talking about playoffs, and then you saw this stretch coming up. This was the one for me that I thought, man, you know, hopefully this goes well on Black Friday, right? I was sitting there thinking this could be the one that really they might beat us up. Instead, now we're sitting here and it's like, are the Eagles sliding? Because they gave up that big comeback to the Cowboys. Then they all of a sudden just really get moved, like ran over. And you're talking about one of the better D coordinators in the league that Ben Johnson was going against. So to me, I think, where do I see the Eagles? I see them still making the playoffs because I think they're just going to end up making a run at it. But it's hard to say. They just look like they can't tie it together, whether it's their offense is rolling, their defense is getting rolled, and then they flip it. They just feel like one of those teams where what I can say for the Bears is no matter where you feel like they are offensively or defensively, you feel like this team bows up, gets gritty and finds a way to win. And then it feels like the Eagles the last 2 weeks is the opposite of that story. It feels like they find a way to kind of squander it. And that's Dane. I mean, obviously, you know, you're getting into the most important part of the season. I'm sure they will correct it in terms of making the playoffs. But I don't know. They don't seem like what they were at the beginning of the year. And then vice versa, what we have coming up this week does feel like the opposite. It feels like they're starting to get that thing rolling, which I do think will give us a good test. You know, I think, what do we play them? Don't we play Green Bay two of the next three or
yes.
something?
Mm-hmm. It's Green Bay, Browns.
I think that'll be a good test for us.
Yeah, it's the Green Bay game, then Browns, then Green Bay. So Myles Garrett, you know, not an easy day.
No, that's but I do look at that as a palate cleanser. We got to let you go, man. So, but in 30 seconds, do you? And if you don't, that's fine, because this is truly putting you on the spot. Because we've been talking about comps for this quarterback, Caleb Williams, and the name John Elway came up from Howie Long. I mentioned, and I'm going to be very specific, the Rex Grossman Super Bowl season seemed like a comp to me in terms of stature, arm strength, wanting to fling the ball down the field, having some great games and having some bad games. Is there a comp that, and I see you smiling big right now, do you have a comp, or maybe you would just like to have an opinion on the two comps I just gave you?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have a comp for him because I do think to me, the closest comp, but again, he's not as big physically, to me, would be Josh Allen. Because I think, like, he rivals that level arm talent where it's like you can legitimately drive the ball down the field as far as you want. You can drive it in conditions. Caleb, like a lot of people would say, well, hey, they don't design run with him. I mean, they do a little bit on third and got to have it. You'll see him pull on read zone. Sure, are we going to run quarterback power down tight? No. Are we going to reinvent a new play with the tush push with him? No, but I do think his athletic ability is there. You know, I mean, John could drive the ball all over the field. You know, that was my, like, childhood growing up in Denver. You watch John Elway. I myself was a big Terrell Davis fan because I thought I was a running back, believe it or not. So
he was awesome.
I don't know if there's a great comp for him, honestly,
yeah,
because I do think he's that special.
Love hearing that, Layla.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when it comes to the fourth quarter comebacks and the career yardage total. Tim Jenkins, always great to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Y'all are the best. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you. And if you want to watch that breakdown, I learn something every time I watch at All Things QB. That is on YouTube. Tim Jenkins joining us to break down the film every single week at this time.
He wins the comp battle, by the way. Josh Allen. Now he's just pandering.
No, I mean, I see it, though.
No, I know.
I think the difference is Josh Allen wasn't, as we know, he wasn't as lauded, you know, heralded coming out of college as Caleb Williams. So that's why I didn't really think about that.
He was pretty lauded, though, Josh Allen, and he wasn't good early.
No, that's it, too.
Yeah.
Coming up next, who better to talk about the ever-changing landscape in the college football coaching carousel than Nicole Auerbach, NBC Sports lead college football insider. We'll ask her about Lane Kiffin. We'll ask her about Pat Fitzgerald's new job. All of that and more coming up next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Rahimi Harris and Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Actually, we're going by Tiger Stadium. I called one person, called Ed Ogeron, and I said, "Hey, man, all I can do is, man, this place just makes me want to talk like you right now.
Go Tigers!"
I did. I was like, we were in the car, and the kids were in there, and I was like, and the coaches, and they're like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I don't know. I'm like channeling Ed right now. I was like, I'm feeling him." Like, I rolled down the window and I was like, "Go Tigers to the fans.
Go Tigers."
And I'm like, so I called Ed. I said, "I don't know what's going on, man, but I'm feeling you right now." And he's like, "Coach, you're at the best place in America.
Go Tigers."
That was Lane Kiffin at his introductory press conference. This is Rahimi Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. And yes, you heard drops of Ed Ogeron in that introduction. We go to our Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, and happy to be joined by Nicole Auerbach, the NBC Sports lead college football insider. Nicole, the last time we talked to you, we were asking where Lane Kiffin is going to go, and we got our answer. Hello, and thanks for being on.
Yeah, happy to be here. We're finally getting some clarity. It's been a weird and crazy coaching carousel, but a lot of these jobs are filled right now.
What do you think about how everything happened? There was so much discussion on social media, so much discussion about the discussion. How do you analyze the ballet, I don't know, opera, soap opera, melodrama, whatever you want to say when it comes to describing the relationship that Lane Kiffin had at Ole Miss, the exit, and how it all went down.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that fans would have necessarily faulted him for going to LSU if he had done it in a totally different way. But this is someone who has a track record of leaving places in very messy, ugly, and public ways. And so, of course, it was going to end like this. And I think by the end, Ole Miss fans were obviously just ready to see him go. I mean, we saw the fans that went to the airport to see him off, who were screaming at him, you know, giving him the middle finger salute. Like, people were very upset with the way that he dragged the whole thing out for multiple weeks and then just completely overshadowed the greatest season in program history. And now, obviously, is leaving them shorthanded ahead of the college football playoff. I mean, Ole Miss fans now have to worry about, hey, is the committee going to dock us because we don't have our head coach and our offensive staff, basically? Like, are they going to penalize us and drop us in the rankings? All of that is now just, like, incredibly unfair to the Ole Miss players and to the administration. The fact that Lane Kiffin thought that he could demand that he coach the team through the playoff run was, I thought, ridiculous. And just really selfish. You know, you lose the right to coach that team when you decide you want to go somewhere else. And so the whole thing was really ugly and off-putting. But ultimately, I mean, I think most people thought that Lane Kiffin would go to LSU. It was the more attractive of the jobs between that and Florida, just the history of success, the resources, the fertile recruiting area, the fact that, you know, three of the last four coaches had won national titles. And I think the longer he dragged it on, the more likely it felt like he was leaving. Yet he still, you know, made the whole thing a debacle and to the point where Ole Miss fans are never going to forgive him, which is pretty common from the fan bases of places he's left before.
Yeah, and I still get that. We've seen some of that around. I mean, I think all the way back to Gary Barnett when he left Northwestern and went to Colorado. And, man, people were really angry about that. And I'm going to bring it modern-day Northwestern because, as we know, Pat Fitzgerald fired back in 2023 amid the team hazing scandal. And now Pat Fitzgerald looks like he is landing at Michigan State. We talked last time you were on. I asked you about Pat Fitzgerald, and you said it that, you know, he should be in the mix for some of these jobs. What do you think about Fitzgerald and the marriage with Michigan State that's happening?
Well, they've posted some photos of him landing in East Lansing and interacting with Sparty, and it is jarring to see him in green. This is going to take some getting used to. He's just been so synonymous with Northwestern. This was a really fascinating situation because, you know, Jonathan Smith was kind of right on the cut line. You're wondering, hey, is the administration going to come out and give him a vote of confidence, another season? And then that didn't happen. And you get to the end of the year, they make the decision, and what, within an hour, the Detroit Free Press reports that it's going to be Pat Fitzgerald. So obviously, we know that with a lot of these searches, you're having conversations, you're doing interviews. Some coaches or some athletic directors don't make moves unless they know they've got the next guy lined up. And we know Pat Fitzgerald talked to a number of schools. But this is a really interesting fit for him. And it feels like Michigan State is trying to kind of harken back to the Mark D'Antonio days. They're going with someone who has had a lot of success in the Big Ten, even though not this exact iteration now that it's 18 teams and coast to coast, but someone who can develop players, not always getting 4- and 5-star guys. And that's really what Mark D'Antonio did. And his best teams were like that. It was a developmental program, you know, with the blue collar, tough work ethic, like all that sort of theme for the program and mantras. And you know, certainly fits that bill. And I think, you know, you're seeing a lot of efforts and galvanized fundraising off of this hire. Michigan State announced a $1 billion fundraising effort that they're already a quarter of the way through. And so this feels like a hire that the donors at Michigan State really wanted and pushed through and were able to make a coaching change happen and get the guy they wanted very quickly.
We're talking to NBC Sports' Big Ten College Football Insider, Nicole Auerbach. She also covers the ACC, has a really good editorial if you want to check it out. A column discussing Lane Kiffin's messy departure from Ole Miss. That's on NBC Sports right now. I do want to get back to just that piece of it because I feel like once Lane Kiffin made his decision official everything else started to move. What do you think about just how he set the market and then what we're going to see even in the SEC after that? Kentucky, of course, next in line as we saw. How is he setting this market?
Yeah, well, you know, we knew he was going to end up one of the highest paid coaches in the country after all of this. And Lane said it himself in his press conference that, like, the salaries were very similar, what was being offered from LSU, Florida, and Ole Miss to stay. So, you know, he's going to be in the category of where Kirby Smart is. And obviously, Kirby's got two national titles. Lane doesn't have any as a head coach, but that's the tier we're talking about in terms of salaries. I wish that he had reset the market in terms of the way salaries were structured. We heard the governor of Louisiana six weeks ago, complaining about all the guaranteed money. And then Lane Kiffin gets a fully guaranteed deal, no offsets. And LSU is going to pay his bonuses for Ole Miss to go through the CFP. So, you know, the agents always win their arguments and their negotiations with schools. But just considering all of the hoopla around Brian Kelly's massive buyout, this is just pretty hilarious that they didn't learn anything or change anything from that. But the other schools are structuring their deals smarter. I mean, you're seeing shorter deals. You're also seeing, you know, Florida goes for a group of five head coach, and you're not going to have to necessarily pay anything close to what Lane Kiffin made, right? So there are some smart financial decisions. But as soon as everyone knew Lane was going to LSU, all of the other SEC schools were able to kind of go with their plans, make their final decisions. And you saw those three American head coaches, really good coaches, go to other SEC schools within like 2 hours of each other. Everyone made their final decisions. Kentucky makes, you know, a late announcement Sunday night that they're making a change, and they get Will Stein, Oregon offensive coordinator, who I'm really, really high on. They get him wrapped up within 24 hours. So these SEC schools really acted quickly. I know that some of the fan bases are a little underwhelmed because they wanted these home run hires, or everyone thought they were going to be able to get Lane Kiffin. But these are really good coaches that make a lot of sense and fit these schools. And there were not going to be Nick Sabans and that type of coach in this market, in this carousel. You were going to have a lot of fan bases that were going to seem underwhelmed by who their coach hired. But I think there's some real winners in this carousel and some of the places that were able to get some of these really, really good coaches out of the group of five. Or like I said, Will Stein, who was an offensive coordinator at Oregon.
Latest CFP rankings come out tonight. What, any surprises you expect? And specifically, I'd like to know about my Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I understand there's some disturbance with Miami. Talk to me about the Irish.
Yeah, I mean, I've been getting a lot of messages of very nervous Notre Dame fans. Uh-huh. Like, is this the week, you know, that the Miami result is going to come into play? I personally don't think it is. I wouldn't even be shocked if, like, you know, Texas slides up, if Texas slides ahead of Miami and adds another team as a buffer there in between them. To me, the committee has been very clear about losses. And it has very much liked Notre Dame. It has said they've been very consistent. It loves their offense, all of those things. And last week, Hunter Yurcheck, the chair of the CFP selection committee, he said that those teams were in the same grouping. Like, the way that I've done the mock, and it's like kind of complicated to explain, but you end up like voting in a few teams at a time, and then you rank them, and then they kind of collect everyone's rankings. So you might be looking at like three or four, five, six teams at once and comparing them against each other, and then maybe narrowing it down to three teams and then going against each other. Anyway, he said that Notre Dame and Miami were in the same grouping and that the head-to-head result was a factor, like a tiebreaker, but it didn't come into play enough, right? Like, it didn't happen in last week's rankings. So to me, it's still hard to believe that it will. I know you have more shared opponents, more, you know, performances where you can say like, hey, Miami is playing really well, like they're playing a lot better than they were in the middle of the season or early November. I get all of those arguments, but this committee has multiple times throughout the top 25 kind of veered away from head-to-head results. And like, why was Vanderbilt ahead of Texas last week for no reason? I don't know. Just they put one team in between them and they're like, okay, well, now we don't have to deal with the fact that Texas beat Vanderbilt. Like, they're doing stuff like this on purpose to then say, well, these teams aren't close enough for us to directly compare them. I could see them sticking with that. And honestly, we'll know tonight, though, right? If Miami has any shot, we'll know tonight. If Texas has any shot, we'll know tonight, because these are teams that are not going to be playing in the conference championship. But my read on the situation, based on what this committee has done over and over this season, is that Notre Dame would stay ahead of Miami with, you know, a little bit of a buffer in between.
Okay.
That's Nicole Auerbach. You can check out her work, as we mentioned, at NBCSports.com. She's also on Twitter at Nicole Auerbach as well. Nicole, thanks for taking the time and helping sort through this with us. I'm sure we'll need your help later after the playoffs and during those before everything wraps up.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys.
Thank you, Nicole. Nicole joining us via their Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. You know, Mark, I thought that we were pretty undefeated, what with having the Pope and all. Well, a Packers fan is trying to one-up that somehow. What's left exactly?
I can't imagine what a Packers fan would have over Pope power, but if that's what you're saying, I'm a little bit anxious to hear this.
So that's next.
Duh! Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Pope! Rahimi Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Da Pope!
I feel like a new visual comes out every week of the Pope where I'm not quite sure it's real. The latest one is the baseball bat picture. Have you seen that, Mark Grody? This is Rahimi Harrison Grody.
I don't know
on
that I have.
The Score.
He was given a baseball bat?
Not just any baseball bat. I believe, I've got this right. Yeah, it was Nellie Fox's baseball bat.
From whom?
He was gifted it, and I'm not quite sure by whom. Yes, the Pope received Nellie Fox's baseball bat as a gift. So there's a picture of like the Pope holding a bat. Like he's about to, it's just an active picture. He's on this plane with his baseball bat in his hands.
All right.
And then, there are the theories that ever since Pope Leo became the Pope, that he's graced the Chicago Bears with a winning record.
Pope Bob.
Now, that I can't question.
No.
But
some things you can't question.
No. That's the mystery of faith, as they like to say in church.
Popeness.
Yes. But a Packers fan thinks that they have the answer to the Pope.
First of all, how are you feeling about your squad after a win? And then how far do you think they can go in this last push for the playoffs?
Super Bowl.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, the last push for I think we're gonna clear the table. The situation with the Chicago Bears, obviously.
It is a situation.
And we're all surprised.
Yeah.
Shocked, if you will. But, you know, the thing about the Bears is I've found historically if they're playing well, you just wait a week or two and then it changes. And So you need the Pope to be a Bears fan, and that's how this happened.
Yes.
And you can see the Pope wasn't really praying necessarily for the Bears, and then after the first 2 weeks, he really started. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, God is a Packers fan, so it's only going to take a certain amount of time. Like God will give the Bears some wins, mm-hmm. but the Packers are going to come out on top. Well,
KMA! Grobber's up there with God right now. You think he's letting that happen? I don't think so.
That was the comedian and podcaster Charlie Behrens on Good Morning Football.
Ah.
And yeah,
I see why God would
supersede it, but I'm looking at Les right now, his bobblehead.
Aw.
I think Les would say KMA to that.
Charlie needs better material than saying that that's the best he's got.
What about the fact that they had a Hall of Fame quarterback for 30 straight years?
Did he give a reason why? Why would God be a Packers fan? He thinks Green Bay's cool? He thinks relish green and urine yellow is cool? You think that's cool, Green Bay? What do you mean the Pope wasn't necessarily praying for the Bears early on? He was praying for the Bears his whole life. It's not just like he's the Pope now, but he's always been papal.
Was that your Joakim Noah just now?
It was.
You think that's cool?
You think Green Bay's cool? God? Is that what you think? I don't think so.
Do you know what the adage was in Dallas for the Cowboys, for Texas Stadium? I believe the reality was they ran out of money to finish the roof for Texas Stadium back in the day.
Yeah.
So then it just became a partially covered stadium with the hole in the roof, as you saw. And people would be like, that's for God to see his team. So God can watch his Cowboys.
Can I tell you something? If God's favorite team is the Green Bay Packers, you ready for this? I'm going to say it. I'm angry at God. I know I've asked the question before.
It is the holiday season.
I know.
The nerds would have loved you.
Can you not do this?
God bless me Hey.
What about the Bears? When you said that, did you even think about the Bears?
That's true. God, it's God's fault. God bless me with a little bit of reverence. God bless me with a little bit of a sense of humor. So it's on him. I know people squirm when I talk about God and baby Jesus, but it is God and baby Jesus that gave me what I have, that has made me who I am, right? We're all blessed, right, Lawrence? We're all blessed in some way. So I know people squirm, but this is what God has given me. He's put me on this earth for a reason, and that is mostly to walk around and save Bears.
You're kind of shaking your head at God for a second, though.
See?
Can you not do this during Packers week?
I know. Or I know it's December, too. It did turn December yesterday. We are in the midst of the month in which Jesus Christ was born.
This is the Advent season, yes.
Yes, yes. And don't turn me off Catholic. I'm a Catholic, too. Just understand. Like, I know. Like, people are like, God, Grody, really push it. This is God and Jesus blessed me with the person that I am. So we're cool. Trust me. When I make jokes, we're cool. Are you? I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking in general.
It's not for me to judge. But the last thing I'm going to do is threaten a deity with which team they cheer for.
I'm not threatening anybody. But
the idea
questioning.
Of a deity cheering for a team is also...
I do question God. Like, if hopefully I get up there someday, I'm like, God, please, can we have a talk? And Grobber will be in the meeting as well. Like, God, a lot of people think the Packers are better than the Bears. KMA, God.
Can he cuss to God?
More like, God will be like, I'm going to send you to Lucifer for a little while. I already talked to Lucifer. He's red and he's hot. Let's just run in things.
It's a wind up. You just wind it up and you just let the Grody go.
They just send Les to purgatory to let him think about
what
he's done.
Les is not in purgatory.
I think I could see Les there. Like, no, I'm just saying, like, small moments of punishment. Like, he goes to purgatory for a day because he used God's name in vain again.
847, thanks a lot, blank. Now we're going to lose every game the rest of the season. That's how I feel. Like, you can't... You can't speak for that. Like, I just don't like messing up the juju. Yeah, Groats, you're about to get a strongly worded letter from the Vatican.
Yeah, and then I would sit down with the Pope and say the same thing. Then what am I not supposed to, like, God blessed me with what I have and has blessed you with your skills and talents. So, like, unfortunately for God, he gave me some humor, gave me some irreverence, and that's on him.
No, I actually think God is teaching me patience, and I'm probably in the wrong line of work. And he's like, maybe eventually you'll get it. And I'm like, yeah, God, I'll try.
You are a godly woman.
That's
you really
just
are.
How
Layla.
I feel.
Ray. Let's wrap.
Existential crises with Rahimi Harrison Grody. No better people to bring in for this conversation, or perhaps
no,
perhaps
that's it.
Others.
We're
than
done
Lawrence
with that conversation.
Anthony Herron.
No. We're done with that conversation.
Hey,
oh, sorry.
You don't get to speak for God, and you don't get to speak for when the conversation's done.
Sorry.
Our next people do.
Sorry.
No, go to break.
Sorry.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original. Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.